B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. 97.5, the Fanatic NBC Sports Philadelphia. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. But what a night of sports. And on a night when, you know, the national championship game is way down on the list because the two winter teams played last night. And one made their fan base really proud, and the other did not. Guess which one? First of all, let's talk about the Flyers. Well, a big win for them last night. I'm watching the game. I'm going back and forth. 5-2, I go, oh boy, Boston Bruins are going to truck them tonight. And come back, and they're inching back, 5-3, 5-4, boom, they tie it. And then they get in a very unlikely situation in the shootout where they get the goal by my man, connects, and Brad Marchand whiffs. And it was really fun. I'm watching the shootout, and I'm going, I wonder if these guys, what's interesting about these guys is they start real fast to get the puck. Did any of them miss him? I swear to God, I had this thought as the shootout started. And I go, you know, they look the puck onto their stick. It's like a baseball player looking the ball into your glove, right? They look the puck into their stick. And here comes Brad Marchand. He puts his head up like a bad golf swing, and he whiffs on the ball and touches the puck. And I go, they can't just say that's an attempt, right? Don't give him another chance. No. You touch the puck, you're done. And the Flyers survive, and they win the game. Big game for them. That was a monster win over a team that's a Stanley Cup contender. So all good for the Flyers. Now we move on to the game that was in Indianapolis, where Ben Simmons, I tweeted out early, he must have been listening to the show yesterday, because that's all we talked about was Ben Simmons getting more aggressive. Attack, attack, attack. Play like Giannis, all that kind of stuff. Did first half. I'm going, woo, this is a game where he could go for 40, right? He's finally going to realize his ability that he's a dominant player and get the ball in the basket anytime he wants if he stays aggressive. And here comes the second half. And he disappears. And when he disappeared, it seemed like their whole flow disappeared. And I'm watching Tobias Harris, and he doesn't look like he wants to take charge. And I'm looking at Al Horford, and he looks like totally lost. And I'm looking at guys that come off the bench, and they're giving him nothing. And I'm going, why isn't Ben attacking like he did in the first half? Well, they changed their defense a lot. They had the wall off defense a lot. It took him right out of his game. Took him out of his game to the point where they had, again, take the ball out of his hands. Remember the old days where Jimmy Butler got the ball? They actually put the ball in Josh Richardson's hands because Josh Richardson looked like the only guy who wanted to do something in that game. I don't know what to say at this point other than they're not the same team with Embiid. Embiid's going to be back. It's hard to judge this team. We get frustrated with this team. It's not the team that we're going to see in the playoff time. Embiid is going to be part of that team. But you see little signs of guys not wanting it, and I don't understand that in the NBA. I don't understand how you can be a max player like Tobias Harris and turtle up. I don't understand how you can make all that kind of money as a free agent like Al Horford. And Embiid's no longer your excuse now, and you still play the same way. You look lost out there. Totally lost. So I don't get what's going on. I really don't. Can the coach be blamed? Yeah, last night he could be blamed. Last night he could be blamed. They didn't play with the same intensity. That's the thing. Forget about the play he designed where Tobias Harris had the look and he got it blocked. Forget about that because a lot of people had a problem with that. Why are you shooting a three? NBA teams shoot threes all the time, right? It looked like that play was open until T.J. Warren closed on it and made a great athletic play on that, right? So that didn't bother me as much as what they don't do for an entire half. They just did not push any kind of a pace. Their defense was okay. Nobody on offense wanted to play. I don't understand it. That's how Tyrone, you did Sixers Outsiders. I assume people were talking about the same thing.
Yeah.
Why did everybody disappear in the end in that game?
It's odd. A lot of people are blaming Brett Brown. A lot of it, I think, is that when a player gets it going early sometimes, you do a lot of watching. And that's fine. That's why the superstar players are who they are, because you usually can keep on relying on them to keep on squeezing and keep on doing what they do. And I think when Ben stopped, they couldn't, other than Richardson, everybody had already had it in neutral and nobody got it back in gear other than him. Not an excuse. I'm just trying to think what happened. This guy's cruising. We can flow through the game. This guy's got it. And in a minute he didn't get it, everybody else stayed in neutral except for Richardson, who really started cooking. He scored 17 of 26 points in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, he wanted it.
I mean,
it was crunch time. They needed somebody to step up. He stepped up. I'll give him that. Now, I just don't I don't know what to say anymore. I just don't want to. The Pacers they allowed transition in the first half. They didn't allow as much transition in the second half because Ben was killing them on transition, which is the special thing that he does. Very few people in the league do what he does on transition. Giannis is one of them. And Ben Simmons is right there with his transition game when he gets past people and he flies to the basket and he's got openings to wedge his way through. And when they close that off, he just turtles. I got a tweet last night. I'm never going to complain on a night when Ben Simmons gets 24 points. What are you talking about? That should have been a 35-point game for him last night. Easy. Sometimes he's got to score 35. That would have been the game last night.
Right.
Well, you guys, what, stop at 24? You got 20 in the first half dominating the game? You allow him for that second half performance when you're a star player?
You're right, Mike. That's two straight fourth quarters in which he's scoreless. Two straight fourth quarters where he's scoreless. And it's not like, oh, it's two. It's zero. Two consecutive games without Joel Embiid. And a lot of people think that the problem with Ben is Embiid did it. We hear it. And now two straight games, Embiid's not there. And in the second half, he gives you a bunch of nothing. 4 points in the second half after the 20 that you mentioned. You can't do that if you're a star player and you know that Embiid's not going to be there to rescue you. It just can't. And I know we say it can happen, but the problem is I'm pretty sure this is going to happen again and again and again. That's what's frustrating to me, because it shouldn't happen, but we know it's going to keep happening. We know it is.
What separates the killers from the non-killers in this league, what separates the superstars from the just good players, is the willingness to go, this is my game. Now, Ben Simmons in the first half has to be thinking, well, I got to go tonight. No one is going to stop me tonight. Nobody. That's the killer mentality. He has a willingness to just abandon that like that. And I don't know what goes through his head at all. He is one of those guys that he's a space cadet.
I was talking to an ex-player. I'm not going to give his name. Guy played in the NBA before. And he says that Ben might have this thing where if he thinks he's cognizant of stats.
So he's done enough?
Yes, he's kind of like, I got, and so at the end, can't blame me. I got my rebounds. Uh-huh. I got this amount of points. And he thinks about it in his head. And maybe, and other players are just out there playing, or they know they got it going, but they don't know exactly how much and blah, blah, blah. They're just playing. He thinks that he's knows, like Pete Rose used to know, like he calculated his batting average on his way to first base.
Yeah.
They say he's a little bit like that, but not in the Pete Rose killer way. It's in the, well, I'm good. And he thinks that that's in his head, and I can't rule that out because it doesn't make sense. Because no one would care if he missed a bunch of shots. We're mad because he disappeared and stopped taking shots or stopped going to the hole. And we don't really care about the failure. We care about, like, the effort. And that's why I can't rule that out. I think he might get in his head, like, I got this certain amount. Let me get my teammates there. It's like, no, you have to go win this game for us right now. You understand what I'm saying? That's what the ex-players say.
Yeah, I get it. There's a divide here between why doesn't he want to be like Jordan when Jordan will want to kill you and take your heart out. And he's on the way to doing that. And he shifts into, well, I've already done it. So I don't have to do any more. Like, the mindset is faulty. Like, his mindset, he thinks is okay when the whole world knows it's faulty. And that's what I don't get. Because he seems oblivious to that part of it. He seems oblivious to people thinking that he should be more of a killer. And that means he doesn't want to be a killer. Like, I don't know. I'm as you can see, he's twisted my brain like a pretzel for the last 2 years. And I'm just exasperated by it.
He's got to be one of the more frustrating players for you because
the most frustrating player I have ever come in contact with in this city.
Really?
Absolutely the most frustrating ever in my career. I can't think of another guy who invokes this kind of emotion in me and frustration at because I see the all-world talent that the guy has, and he either has a unwillingness to go there or he thinks he's already gone there. And I don't understand how you could live in this world and hear feedback from other people and think you have already gone there. All right, well, we'll talk about it. 610-632-0975. That's how you get in. I hate to step on the Flyers today because that was a big victory for him last night. But the frustration of most people are boiling the pot over where it's drowning the Flyers game and what they did last night. It's the Mike Missanelli Show. It's right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missanelli Show. The Fanatic.
218, Mike Missanelli Show. 2 o'clock hour brought to you by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon Coughlin. Attention HVAC contractors. This is the Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons. If you're wondering what to get the family this new year, giving their weekends back with Husqvarna Automower from Paul B. Moore and Sons. Check out the Automower in person, the showroom in Doylestown, or online at paulbmoyer.com. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 200 votes on this one early. Did Ben Simmons have a good game last night? 41% say yes, 59% say no.
49 say yes?
41 say yes.
41 say yes.
Yeah, 59 say no.
41 say yes, huh? Yeah, I look at the box. I got the box right in front of me. It says 24-14. Hey, by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be a good game, right? No, not when your team needs more from you. Not when your team needs 30. Not when your team needs you to engage in crunch time in the fourth quarter. That's where a box score doesn't tell the story. Off the bench. Out there, Ben's the most productive player was Little Squatty. Little Squatty was 7 points last night.
Now, explain something to me.
What Little Squatty is?
No, I know who and what
Little Squatty.
Yes, all right, Little Squatty. He couldn't out TJ last night.
Exactly.
He couldn't. But. And I'm not saying that this guy's a star. We've talked about his limitations, but the coach decided yesterday that Ennis is going to get no minutes. He's not hurt. It's just a did-not-play coach's decision.
Yes.
Yeah, you see that box score. You see all those minutes for Korkmaz, who's 1 of 5 from three. Once again, not a shooter. Mm-hmm. His career says he's not a shooter. Outside of practice, this man has never been a shooter. In games, he is not a shooter. If you look at his percentages, he's not a shooter. It's a close game. You might need a couple extra stops. You might have to grind out a win to get the way the game's playing out. You held him to 101, but maybe you can hold him under 100 if you get some more stops. And you go with Korkmaz all those minutes instead of Ennis, who can actually stay in front of somebody. I'm just saying that I'm not one of these fire Brett Brown. You cannot do that in a close game unless that guy is somehow red hot, which never happens. You have to make sure Ennis plays because Ennis can get you a stop. Cork Maz can't. It does. That's on the coach. You can't do that if you're the coach. You can't not play Ennis at all and give Cork Maz 20 minutes and then you lose. You better win if you make that kind of decision. That's on Brett. Can't do it.
That's just a terribly frustrating loss last night. Terribly. Jim on a cell. Jim, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Jim.
Mike, how you doing?
What's up, Jim?
Well, I'm going to tell you what I totally resent about this entire Simmons scenario. First of all, when they signed him, I've owned my own company my whole life. When they signed him to a $100 million contract, I don't care if he was a top five defender. They're not paying anybody that kind of money in this league that can't score. Here's my question.
First of all, did you see the way he played in the first half? Do you ignore that? Do you ignore the skill set that the man has?
No, that's why I resent it.
Okay.
From the time you're in school in the first grade, you're always hammered in one thing: be the best you can be. That's a mm-hmm. universal challenge to every child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when somebody is given, in my opinion, I've watched basketball 50 years in the Philly area. I've never seen anybody with more God-given skills. Now, that's the responsibility on him. No pride. I don't care about all this. Let me just bring up a point that I don't think anybody's mentioned. That has to affect teammates. I don't care what anybody says. If you're in an organized and a competitive game, and there is a guy on your team that you know is not putting out the best he can be, that begins to take a toll. Anybody who thinks otherwise is naive.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
And I think that's what's starting to happen now. And it's going to hit the fan base because, you know, the thing about the $300 million guy for right fielder in the Phillies, he was diving for balls when they were out of everything. He got a pass because of that. It wasn't about money. He played the game a certain way. Why wouldn't they include in the contract that he has to take a minimum number of shots? If he doesn't, he violates the contract and gets fired.
Because you can't put that in the contract.
They put almost everything else.
It's an unconscionable provision.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
If the coach tells him to take five shots and he doesn't do it, why can't they fine him?
Because that's not a finable offense. There's a players association that protects players from stuff like that.
He's never going to win the fan base over. I don't care what, and the team is going to suffer for him.
Jim, you sound frustrated.
Well, it's a shame because the expectations were great when it was him and...
Yeah, you know, and you see the way he plays in the first half and you go, oh my God, that's breathtaking stuff. Saw it? For some reason, he thinks that he's done enough. I don't know. Why wouldn't he be hungry to do the same thing he did in the first half? I don't know. I don't know what goes through the guy's head. I'm totally befuddled with what goes through the guy's head. Either he thinks I've already done enough, or he thinks he's already there as a star player in this game. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist. You know, I don't know what's in the kid's head.
We've never seen this in this city. We're used to guys who go get theirs. AI, Barkley, Doc, Wilt. In this city, we got guys who go get theirs.
You got ability like that. You perform in the first half like that. I'm thinking that he should be thinking this. I'm going to bust their ass all night like this.
Yep.
That's what a killer does. And then in the second half, he gets like in the fourth quarter, he wasn't even there. To the point where, okay, Josh Richardson, you got the ball. I'm watching the game going, What is up with this team? Something wrong, man. There is something wrong with this team.
It is.
Tyreek in North East Philly. Tyreek, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I know it's Tyreek, but
Tyreek, what's up?
Never mind. All I'm gonna say about Ben Simmons, my point is more Eagles, but all I'm gonna say about Ben Simmons is I heard Anthony, a guy on Anthony, talk about Kobe and LeBron and all those guys or whatever, right? And I'm gonna go, and all I'm gonna say about Ben, I like Ben, I really do. But we want him to be a killer, and he's not a killer. Because at the end of games, you know, LeBron's not inbounding the ball. Jordan's not inbounding the ball. Kobe's not inbounding the ball. I've watched games where it's a one possession game and all the time. And I know why it is because Ben's not a good foul shooter. We're up by one or two. He shoots 60%, so he's a liability at the foul line. But, you know, everybody's saying he's this unicorn, he's a generational talent. You got to want that at the end of the game when it's close. You got to want to be that guy. And to me, him inbounding the ball is basically passing the buck and saying, I don't want to be that guy. And when you got to have a guy like Josh Richardson scoring 17 in the fourth quarter and you have 0 points, and you can say whatever you want to about making all-star games. You're in Philly. You had 0 points in the fourth quarter, and we ain't trying to hear that. And people's patience are running thin. It's frustrating. I watched that game last night, but I've seen them when they lost to Miami a week or two ago. You know, it was a one-possession game. He's on the sideline. He's throwing the ball in. You're supposed to be a killer. You're supposed to be this unicorn, this generational talent. Mm-hmm. Not even talking about shoot first. I mean, you got to want to have the ball in your hands to control how this game goes, and it's just not him. Just not. Like, am I missing something?
No, you're absolutely right. So now think about this. He knows why they're doing that, right? He knows that they can't get the ball in his hands in certain areas. They have to have him inbound the ball for the reasons why you just said. He seems to be okay with that. He seems to be okay with the Jaylen Browns of the world mocking their teammates who don't shoot by calling them Ben Simmons. He seems to be okay when his teammates get up and cheer uproariously when he shoots and makes that 3-point shot. Nothing resonates with the kid.
Yeah, well,
he's got a brick skull.
Like, I'm like you. I'm at a loss for it. But I wanted to ask you this because there was another caller that talked about. Somebody said that we need to draft cornerback for the Eagles in the first round, and you're like, well, no, I want to go wide receiver. And I want to ask you an honest question. Like, I'm being honest with you with this question, mm-hmm. and I know it's still fresh. But do you trust this front office to hit a home run in the first round? Like, I'm asking.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that, bro. I mean, seriously, what else are you going to do? That dirty guy's making a pick. So, yeah, I got to trust him.
Well, when you look at just what just happened to us in this game, against the
Seahawks,
right?
I get it. Why they're not going to let you make the pick? So
I know that, but I'm just saying, what measurables were they measuring? JJ Arcega Whiteside.
I get it. But listen, you're making it first round. We know what who the higher rated wide receivers and cornerbacks are in the first round. So it's not like mm-hmm. It's not the second round. The first round pick has got to be somebody that is well known. Who's going to be high ranked.
Literally, I just watched J.J. Arcega-Whiteside's combine compared to the D.K. Metcalf. D.K. Metcalf had like a 4.39.
Yeah, D.K. Metcalf had a neck injury, though, and they were worried about it, and it was a mistake. But it was a second-round mistake. The first round, we went over the other day with the top rank. There's like four, five major wide receivers that one of them's going to be there for you. Maybe the defensive back won't be there, but there could be. And it comes down to this, really. It's simple. It's kind of idiot-proof, isn't it? What's the highest-ranked player on your board in the cornerback wide receiver position that's available at your pick or that you really like and you want to move up a couple picks? It's not that hard in the first round.
No, it shouldn't be. And their last year's first-round pick can probably play. And their other second-round pick looks like he can play. The Arcega Whiteside, not so great, but they should be. I'm not one of these people that have lost all hope that they can draft.
No, but we don't have any other choice. Like, do I trust Howie Roseman? No. But guess what? I can't do anything about it. I got to trust him.
Yeah, it's possible.
It's possible. I can't say they're not going to get a guy because it's the only thing that we have. Nobody's going to come flying from the sky and say, I'm making a pick, Howie, you sit down. Right, it's going to be this brain trust.
Yeah, and hopefully,
I got to trust them.
And that board, there's a lot. It's almost like there's so many. Unless they pull a Pumphrey, there's going to be a bunch of these guys that hit. Just like that year where they drafted Pumphrey, mm-hmm. every other running back hit. You just have to pick one of probably five or six guys that are going to be productive pros. You just got to find one. It's not impossible, like you said.
It's not. And obviously, there's the right to rip him if it doesn't happen.
No, but it better happen.
And if it doesn't happen, then probably his job is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
But that's not going to be until two years down the road. And then we see whether these guys can play. Let's go, James in Brick Township. What's up, James?
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's going on, James?
First time caller, long time listener.
Thanks, buddy.
Just a quick one. DeFilippo, mm-hmm. can we get him back?
I don't know. What, are you that concerned about that?
Well, I just thought being Wentz played so good back.
He also just failed in two places, right? He got fired two places.
Correct.
So, I don't know. How good? And the other thing is, will he come here and be Doug's subordinate? Because that's got to be part of it. Doug's going to call plays. He's going to bring DeFilippo back and say, you're my offensive coordinator. You're calling all the plays.
All right. Thank you for your time.
All right, buddy. I mean, yeah. Carson didn't have DeFilippo when he played well in the last four games. So, I don't know if it's necessary. At this stage of his career, he has to have DeFilippo hold his hand. Let's go, James in D.C. James, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, James?
I am extremely frustrated, and I'm calling because I'm looking for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen how this organization has missed on Zaire Smith. I see how they've missed on with the trade. Even though now, you know, that probably was the best thing with Landry Shamet. So when I look at Ben Simmons now, I see someone who cannot or will not shoot. His stat line means nothing in the first half. I don't care if he has a triple-double every night. Russell Westbrook averaged a triple-double and never will be able to win a championship. So if we're interested in winning championships, why wouldn't this team seriously consider trading Ben Simmons? Because I don't see what other solution is available. You can't make him into being something he's not. So when do we start looking at solutions and stop being frustrated with him disappearing at the end of games? I mean, what's the point?
Well, who are you going to trade him for? What's the trade? Are you talking about trading him now or after the season?
No, I'm talking about now. I'm looking at somebody like Devin Booker.
Yeah, but come on, man. Ask yourself a question. Why would the Phoenix Suns trade you Devin Booker for Ben Simmons? If you're so down on Ben, why do you think they would want him so much and give you their best player?
Because they have a different team set up.
That guy brings in fans. He scores 28 a game. He's an exciting player in that city.
But people traded for Allen Iverson. People traded for Charles Barkley.
Traded for Allen Iverson when he was done his career? Come on. You're not making any sense. Stop it. David Booker is a league star. You're presuming that somebody's going to give up a league star on their team for Ben Simmons. Why? Why would you presume that?
Because Ben Simmons does bring something.
You just spent the first minute and a half ripping him. Well, what he can't do.
For this team. He doesn't fit for this team.
Well, why would he fit with other teams?
Because they're set up differently.
Come on.
There's shooters on other teams.
Stop. Come on. They're not going to give you Devin Booker for Ben Simmons.
Okay. All right. Well, then we just be. Then I guess we just complain about the fact that the guy sits on the bench at the end.
You got to be realistic on what it is here. You're not going to get the value you think you're going to get for a guy like Ben Simmons now. So it's best to hold on to the talent that is Ben Simmons because you're not going to get a Devin Booker for Ben Simmons. So what's the sense of trading him? You see what I'm saying?
I see that isn't an answer to providing a championship quality team. I see what you're saying.
All right, well then you got to figure out something else. But don't give me Devin Booker because that's not going to be on the board.
Well, you got to make the offer. You got to make the play.
Come on, man. Stop. Stop with the trade. These trades, these fictional trades. If they decide to move on from Ben Simmons, it's not going to be now. It's not going to be this year. It's going to be when they realize that maybe it's not going to happen with him. That's at least another season away. They're not going to move him now. They're not going to move him in the offseason next year. They're going to try to build their team around these two guys still until they exhaust all possibilities that this guy is going to work. This guy is going to evolve into the superstar he should be. The Giannis that he should be. Because that's what you have right now. You got an oyster shell with a potential Giannis pearl in it. That's what you got.
Yeah, right.
You saw the first half? If he adds a little to his game, he's an unstoppable force in this league.
There's no ceiling on his game. And actually, it would be inappropriate to break it up yet. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be frustrated. But 3 years together actually isn't enough time usually historically in the NBA to then break it up. That doesn't mean that this is acceptable.
But you could come to the conclusion if you want that is just not going to happen. It would be a little premature to come to that conclusion, but it's logical. You know what's not going to happen with this kid? There's something in this kid's head that's going to prevent him from going to a plateau that everybody thinks we can and what we need him to be. So yesterday we talked about it. Who are the guys that you could possibly get that kind of value for, knowing what the ceiling he hasn't reached yet? So it's got to be a substantial guy. Booker would be one of them. I would do that. They're not going to do that. Phoenix has no reason to want to do that. None.
None.
All right, who was the other guy we talked about? Somebody young and fit. DeLuca. Dallas isn't going to do that.
No, they would not.
And then you, I'm not even sure I would do this, but you said Bradley Beal.
Yeah.
And maybe they would do that. I don't know. Maybe the Wizard would do that.
Maybe not, though, because John Wall needs the ball. I don't know. I'm just trying to think, if you decided it was over, and I'm not there yet, but if I decided I'm there, those Beals, okay, I think he can make my center better, and I know he can shoot it, and somehow he's still on the upswing. He's still getting better. Every year he comes back better.
Yes.
This guy, unfortunately, so far, he's come back better defensively, but offensively he's the same.
But you can't ignore how he can dominate the game. This is what I talk about with Ben Simmons. He can dominate the game like few other players in this league when he's playing that way in the first half. And when he's all cooked up and he makes that dash to the basket and dunks and he's got the primal scream. And I'm going, this night he wants to bust somebody's rear end. And in the second half, it's like passive Ben. It just doesn't compute to me. Where's the primal scream in the second half? Does he want a primal scream in the second half?
It did not seem like it. Seemed that Ray J. Rich was looking to get a scream on, and everyone else was on some, you go ahead. That's what it looked like.
No. All right, let's go Josh in Pottstown. Josh, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Josh.
Mike, I'm out on the Sixers. I'm out. I'm going to tell you.
First of all, you're the 20th person that has told me that today. I'm out. I'm done.
I'm going to tell you why. Elton Brand screwed this whole thing up. A couple years ago when the Orlando Magic went to the finals, you had the dominant center, Dwight Howard, and he had four shooters at the top that couldn't hit three. That's how the Sixers need to succeed with Embiid. They still haven't figured that out. And until they figure that out, it's not going to work. And this guy, Elton Brand, he overpays Horford. I'm not trading no draft picks at the deadline this year. You're going to have to attach all your draft capital to get rid of that contract in the offseason. And then if you look at what he did, he essentially traded five draft picks, Elton Brand did, to the Clippers for the ability to max out Harris, who he don't have it. They have nothing. They have no cap. They have no first-round draft pick next year. This team is going to be a 7th seed next year if they don't figure it out. I don't know what to do, Mike.
Listen, I hear you. I hear your frustration. I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. They clearly miss a killer like Jimmy Butler. They clearly miss it. But once he didn't want to play here or whatever broke down with that, they had to get somebody, and Al Horford seemed like a reasonable get. But it hasn't worked out. It hasn't blended.
Mike, they got him because nobody else wanted to come here. That's why they got him.
There wasn't anybody else that could have come here.
Mike, we're drawing for straws here, brother. The problem is this. They got no shooter, and they have no way to fix it until the offseason when you can trade Ben Simmons, like that caller said, for D'Angelo Russell. Do the deal.
Oh,
and then trade Horford and your first draft pick in 2021 to get the damn contract off the books. Elton Brand screwed the team up,
Mike. You can't trade Ben Simmons or D'Angelo Russell. It's ridiculous.
Mike.
Come on,
I'm out. I'm out, Mike.
I know. I can tell you're out. What do you get? Ben Simmons or D'Angelo Russell. That's absurd and ridiculous.
You're right. And also, he's out. No. 11 days from now, they play the Lakers at home Saturday night. Tell me if they beat the Lakers, he's not back on Monday, 27th, calling you up. I don't know. The championship is still, he's back in. He's not out. You're not out. They beat the Lakers, you're right back in.
No, listen, everybody says they're out and I'm done because of the frustration of last night. I get it.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're not, they're lying.
I think it's amusing now when people go, I'm out, I'm done. Because it's their way of protecting themselves. The Sixers are the sixth seed right now.
Yeah.
And would you have thought that at this point? 43 games in?
No. And I'm still not overly concerned, but...
41.
But I now need to know... I'm very interested in how long Embiid... I need Embiid back in 4 weeks, not six. Because if he's out the full six, now I'm worried. I gotta be about
you
the
seed. You worried about the seed?
Yes. If he's out a month, I still think there's some games where they're going to win at home against bad opponents. They actually have. They've had a pretty tough schedule so far. They have the toughest schedule in the NBA, the easiest schedule in the NBA the rest of the way. I think there's wins on the schedule. But Embiid's injury needs to be closer to four than six, or I am worried about the seeding.
Well, you don't like him against the Heat or the Celtics?
I still think they would beat them, but I don't. They're bad on the road. They stink on the road, and that's another thing that bothers me. I didn't expect that. I thought that they would figure some of this road stuff out. They haven't. So I'm not overly concerned, but I will be concerned if Embiid's out another 5 weeks versus another 3 weeks. And we won't find that out for another week, how long he's going to be out. So I'm a little concerned.
All right. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
All right, 249, Mike Missinelli Show. Today, I know it is a very tough day to talk Sixers, but we are going to give away a pair of passes to two pair today. That's right, because we were supposed to give away a pair yesterday, and we were so tied up in the emotions of the conversation that we did not. So, we're giving away two pair of passes to see the Sixers take on the Nets this Wednesday. The good news about that game is that it's a home game, and they're likely to win it.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
They're very good at home.
Yeah, they're very good at home, and they're coming off a disappointment. I'm guaranteeing a dub there. And we'll be in the suite with you guys this Wednesday, January 15th. So, if you bring some alacrity to the show, you might hear the Sixers, can we play the Sixers, song? Just the little jocularity in here?
Well, I got
it. Yeah, you don't have to play it now. The Sixers song. When the Sixers song plays, that means it's a really good call. Yeah. There you go. And you'll get the tickets. All right?
Yeah.
All right.
That'd be good.
Sounds good. All right. Let me ask a question about the championship game last night. Very entertaining game.
Yes.
A lot of stuff to move around on last night. So, they were talking about it this morning on, I guess, Get Up. Would you draft Trevor Lawrence or Joe Burrow? Now, Trevor Lawrence is one more year before he comes out. But if you had a choice as your franchise quarterback, as an NFL team, which of those two quarterbacks would you want?
I'm still a Trevor Lawrence guy.
You're a Lawrence guy. You would go Lawrence over Burrow because you think he's got a bigger upside than Burrow?
I do.
Really?
I do. But I'm not saying that I'm right.
Uh-huh.
Younger, more time to develop, just as athletic. He moved pretty well against Ohio mm-hmm. State. Did not have a good game last night. Did not.
Played a lot of high. I think he was shaking.
I think he was shaking a little bit, but he's 20. I think 20 versus 23, I think that does matter at that age as far as maturity and stuff mm-hmm. like that. Like, Burrow is older than Lamar Jackson is. So, like, I think that...
What is he, 23?
He's 23, yeah. I mean, he's not... Wait, I'm saying, but he is older. He was born before Lamar. Mm-hmm. Lamar Jackson's about to win MVP.
Yeah.
I think that it takes time for that poise to develop. He's going to have other shots at big games. Trevor Lawrence, they'll be right back in the mix again next year. For me, long-term, I'm still Trevor Lawrence.
I'll tell you what. LSU gets themselves some skill wideouts.
You see those guys?
And D-backs and safeties. Good Lord.
All that speed? All them good players? That's size, incredible. Speed, everything.
The guys they get. I'm thinking, I'm trying to relate it to Penn State. They go, Penn State like plays in slow motion compared to a team like LSU.
Did you see Randy Moss's son's out there? He's not even their best receiver.
Yeah, it's like, I go, hey, I might be kidding myself thinking the Penn State could ever win a national championship game with the talent that's recruited in the South.
It's unbelievable.
It really is.
It's unbelievable how many good players were on that field last night.
Yeah.
Because the Caps is not a slouch. They got 6'3 guy doing this. They got a lot of good players on that field. I honestly think the receiving core, J.J. don't think a Whiteside couldn't play for either one of them. He would not have started for either one of those teams.
I get you, man.
He wouldn't have.
In one way, it put me into reality. Like, this notion that I think Penn State could be in a Final Four and compete for a national championship in this day and age might not be a good. They're grabbing guys from Nanticoke.
In this day and age.
A Nanticoke kid is playing safety for them. LSU's picking a kid from the Bayou who runs a 4.3.
You can get guys to come up Penn State, kid.
Maybe.
You can, although.
You don't get as many as those teams get. That's damn sure.
They grow on trees down there, and they're all fast, and they're all big, and they're all good.
It's going to be Kevin and Mays Landing. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Kevin.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, not much. I want to start off, Mike, by saying I thank you for turning me on to the Netflix show, Messiah. I was listening to you yesterday.
Did you start watching it last night?
I started watching it. I stayed up to 2:30 in the morning.
Really? See, it's addictive, isn't it?
Oh, my God. It was great. You know, it was awesome. I watched the whole first season.
Did you really?
I did the whole first season
last night.
Yeah, I watched the first season last night. I was up till 2:30 in the morning.
Oh, my God, you're really hooked.
Oh, yeah, I was hooked. Once I saw the first show, I was done. I had to watch it all.
Yeah, it's a cool show.
Yeah. I want to talk about Ben Simmons.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay. You know what? This is my theory. My theory is Ben does enough to show the Sixers and the NBA his elite skills, and that he's a true baller at times. And I think the underlying thing with Ben is that he wants his own team. So he's not going to go all out, and he's not going to shoot shots until he has his own team.
What does that mean, he have his own team?
Meaning he could be the main guy on the Sixers, or he's in another city being the main guy.
Does he like winning?
I think, like you said, he's a different kind of cat. So I think it's more important to him and his ego to be the leader of his own team. And I think then and only then will he strive to shoot the ball.
Yeah, I don't necessarily agree.
No, I don't.
Because, last night it was his own team. Embiid's not there last night. The last few games he's been playing, it's his team.
Right.
He's responsible for getting 35 last night.
Right, but you don't think that,
I think he's got a brickhead. I think he's got, like, there's something, there's air in that brain somehow. Because I don't understand, like, he has to be aware of how he's being mocked for not being able to shoot a basketball, and he's totally oblivious to it.
Right.
That's a special type of cat. I don't know what that means exactly. I don't think it's because he wants his own team. I think he's perfectly content playing the way he plays. I already think that he thinks he plays at a perfect level.
Yeah, I can see that, too. But I do believe that Ben, like Kobe and Michael Jordan, they had their own teams. And I think deep down, that's what Ben wants as well.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling he wants his own team. Listen, when your peers start mocking you, like, just put... In your own particular situation, whatever it is you do, you hear your peers are mocking you that you can't do a certain thing in your job. What's your natural reaction? Your natural reaction is to be wounded first, but then to go, oh, yeah, well, I'll show them. And Jaylen Brown, who's not a star in this league, starts talking about why we were calling one of our guys Ben Simmons because he can't shoot. Now, that didn't wound Ben Simmons. He heard it. We all heard it. Like, that means nothing to him.
I mean, the only thing he looked at it is, I'm just going to lock you down on defense. It did not register.
Well, that's what I mean. So if that kind of thing doesn't register, if the mocking cheers that when he takes a three doesn't register, if he has to have the ball taken out of his hands at the end of the game, which he did last year, Jimmy Butler, and last night with Josh Richardson, if that doesn't register, what do you got? What's here? It's not a normal brain. It's just not.
I think he still needs to lose more. Seriously. Losing humbles everyone.
Dude, I think there's been enough onus that the kid just, it doesn't get in. Because he has developed this wall where you know, hey, I don't care what anybody says. I do my thing, and it's good. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.